Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
To give you revelation and insight about what the future is, and that you would not be fearful of the future, but you would be anticipating of the next great event of God in your life. The Bible simply said the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The story should be familiar to most of us. The story of Simeon, an old, old man in the neighborhood of 100 years of age. But the Lord had spoken to him, and apparently he was very close to the Lord. He was a man of prayer. When God confides in you, you have a prayer life, I can tell you. When God is telling you what's going to happen before it happens, you have real insight with the Lord. And so the Lord told Simeon, he said, before you die, the Christ child is going to be born and you will see him. That's a wonderful consolation in itself, that you know you're not going to die until something happens. You have something to look forward to. There's possibly people in this audience that the Lord has told you that you're not going to die until you see your children saved or your grandchildren saved, or you're not going to die until Jesus comes, or you're not going to die until there's a tremendous harvest in the world as far as the church is concerned. There is such a place that you can get with the Lord. But Simeon served the Lord. But his main motivation, he was waiting for the consolation. I identify so much with this text because I believe that Simeon enjoyed every moment that he ministered in the temple. It was a pleasurable time. I find that very, very significant to my life today. What I'm doing, I find tremendous joy in. I find joy in serving the Lord. I find joy in watching what's going on in this world and watching the eternity unfold and knowing that the scripture's coming to pass. A friend of mine called me not long ago, and he's a pastor of some years, and he was just shocked at what was going on. He was shocked at the violence. He was shocked at the political turmoil. He was just shocked what was happening in America. I said, brother, how can you be shocked? We've been preaching this was going to happen for years. And what we're seeing is simply the unfolding of the scripture. These are the perilous times that the Bible talks about. But the Bible guarantees us that in the time of peril, we shall have peace and we shall have power. So like Simeon, I'm enjoying the ministry of the temple. I'm enjoying preaching God's word in this day and time. I'm enjoying seeing people saved. I'm enjoying seeing God's people continue on victoriously. Simeon was like that, along with Anna, which was a woman of 84 years of age, which was also ministering in the temple. But they were in tremendous anticipation. This is good, but it's going to get better. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that I've served the Lord for a while now, and it's been really good, but it's going to get better. I realize what the times are, and I realize the signs of the time. But as for me and my house, not only will I serve the Lord, but I will be blessed above and beyond my greatest expectation. And you can get in on this. And so as he went about his duties of lighting candles and offering sacrifice and ministering in the temple, what was always foremost on his mind is there is coming a Messiah that is going to bring consolation to Israel. Because Israel was tremendously persecuted by the governments of that day. I don't think Simeon was in this category, but most of the believers in the Messiah, the Jews that were waiting on that Messiah, they thought he was coming to set up a political kingdom. But when Simeon took Jesus Christ in his arms, I think he farewell knew that it was not a political leader. It was not a prime minister or a president. It was not a potentate, but this was Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so he anticipated that consolation until it came to pass. We're living in a world that is deteriorating right before our eyes. We are living in a Sodom and Gomorrah generation. A days of Noah generation, as Jesus called it. A day where they're calling evil good and good evil. And some are saying, when is Jesus coming? Some are wondering. But the Bible said we must wait on the consolation. And that's exactly what we're doing. We can affect personal events and miracles by our prayer and praise and faith. I believe we can change the seasons of our life. We can cause things to happen that were not going to happen by prayer and by faith in our lives and in our family. But we cannot change the dispensation. And so we're waiting on the changing of the dispensation. We're waiting for the consolation exactly as Simeon and Anna were. But we have to realize that Christ gave us many parables and many stories so that we would know what we were to do. The Bible tells us the story of 10 virgins. They were all virgins, all virtuous women. They were waiting on the cry. They were waiting on that consolation. But while they were waiting, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. The 5 wise did what God told them to do. Their hearts filled with expectation. The 5 foolish became Laodicean. They became lethargic. And they simply said, well, it's going to happen by and by, but there's nothing for us to do. And so the Bible said, finally, the time of consolation came. The bridegroom cried, I'm here, I'm here. And they all went out to meet him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about a world that is lost. But I'm equally concerned about a church that is lost. Because I see Christians by the thousands that have no evidence of spiritual fruit in their life. They're simply Christians in name only. They bear no relationship with the Lord. They have no communion with the Lord, no prayer life with the Lord, no holiness, no power, no joy, none of the fruits of being a believer. And these 5 foolish virgins were deceived, and they represent a deceived church. The Apostle Paul warns us of deception, but he says the greatest deception of all is when you deceive yourself. Those people that like to say, don't judge me, God's taking care of it. You need to judge yourself. How do you measure up with the Word of God? It's not up for me to judge you because the judgment seat at this moment in time is empty. Not even Christ himself is on that judgment seat. That's the reason why people can blaspheme and they don't drop dead. The judgment seat right now is empty. So nobody's judging you, but you need to judge yourself and realize to whether you are opening up with the things of God and whether the things of God are applicable to your life or you're simply going through the motions. These 5 foolish virgins were deceived. And when the cry was made, they went out. And the Bible said all of them slept. In other words, all of them were normal, all of them occupied. It said all of them trimmed their lamps. The lamps represent religion. But there was one thing missing in their life, and that was the oil. And the oil always represents the Spirit in the Scripture. What was missing in their life was the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's exactly what's missing in many Christians' lives today. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And God warns us of that. You began in the Spirit, but now you're in the flesh. And how foolish can you be? They were foolish Galatians, they were foolish virgins because they were not possessors of the Holy Spirit. More than anything in your life, you need the power of the Holy Spirit because the power of the Holy Spirit is the power of catching away. The Holy Spirit is the power of resurrection. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life today, you simply do not have the engine that will lift you out of this world to meet Christ. And so they were anticipating something that was never going to be a reality in their life. And unfortunately, there are millions of people that call themselves Christians that are anticipating something that is never going to happen. They're never going to be changed in a moment. They're never going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the rapture simply because they are foolish, just as these virgins were and just as the Galatians were. But friend, those of us that are walking with Jesus every day, We're not appalled by what's happening. We're not shocked by what's happening. We didn't have confidence in this world. Our faith was never in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our faith was always in that kingdom that Jesus Christ guaranteed with his own blood. And we're the same people we were last year or 5 years ago, in some cases 50 years ago. We're still doing exactly what we do, and we're enjoying the temple work. We're enjoying being Simeon and Anna in this day and time. We're enjoying working around the kingdom of God and leading people to Christ and worshiping Lord and singing the songs and praying the prayers. It's an enjoyable journey for us. But topping all of that is our expectation of the consultation that is coming, that Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming soon for a church of the living God. Expectation and performance while we're waiting. The Bible tells us that there is a way to wait, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we talk about renewing our strength, what is our strength? The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. No wonder the Bible said, stir up the gift that is within you. If you're looking for the Lord to come and console us and reconcile us, if you're looking for Christ to come in that great day and make the church what the church is going to be, you have to renew your joy. Stir up your gift. What does that mean? That means set on fire your desire. If you look at the Greek, set yourself on fire with loving Jesus Christ and the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With joy I draw water out of the wells of salvation. Christ is not coming for an anemic church. He's coming for a strong church. He's coming for a church that has renewed themselves, that knows how to wait on the Lord. I'm waiting for the Lord, but I am not idle while I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm praying to him. I'm praising him. I'm sharing his word. I'm reaching into the fire and plucking him like brands out of the burning. But praise God, my best days are yet ahead because my confidence is in Christ. And I'm looking forward to it. I've told you in times past about a church that came across town. When I first came here, I talked to two of the members, and they were Pentecostal people, supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And one lady told me, she said, I don't want the Lord to come yet because we are building a new house and we're just moving into it, and I want to live that house for a while. Well, she didn't understand what John said when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. There might be somebody here that lives in the dimension, in the dominion, but I want to tell you that your house in the dominion is a shack, what God has prepared for us. It's not yet entered into the heart of man what the Lord has prepared for us. And so we're looking for the coming of the Lord. The other young man that I talked to from that same church, he just got his driver's license, and his dad had bought him a motorcycle. He said, oh, I don't want to go to heaven yet. I want to ride my motorcycle first. Well, I've ridden motorcycles, folks, and that's not it. That's not what you're looking for in life. There's a whole lot more to houses than houses and motorcycles in God's kingdom. We're to have an anticipation. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of you that love his appearing. Do you anticipate the coming of the Lord? Have you ever slept and had a dream about Jesus coming? I've had a number of them. Have you ever meditated on what it's going to be like when the Lord comes and catches us up? I know some of you like to go on rides and Six Flags and all that kind of stuff. I didn't even like that when I was a kid. I sure don't like it as an old man. But I'm looking forward to that ride when the Lord catches me up. It's going to be exciting, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah, the Lord is coming. And I have an anticipation of what is happening. And there's going to be a manifestation of that consolation. There's going to be a manifestation of it. And the Bible said it comes in various phases. The first is the harvest. The first is actually, even before the harvest, there's probably something that has already happened. When I was a young boy, that hadn't been that many years ago in the scope of time, 60 years ago, I didn't know any rich people in the church. Everybody I knew in the church was broke. The church was just poor. Folks, I meet multimillionaires all the time that are Holy Ghost filled Christians today. There's some people in this church that if you knew who they were, you'd be shocked. And I'd be shocked because they're not tithing on it. But I'd be shocked and you'd be shocked how much money they got. There's some rich people sitting right here in this building. What are you saying? I'm saying God is equipping the church. The Bible said in the last days, and he's doing that, he will lay up the riches of the sinner for the children of God. Why is that? So we will have the money to evangelize the world. TBN, one of the Christian networks, is one of the richest entities in this world. They have unbelievable amounts of cash and assets across the world. Paul Crouch was a genius businessman, but he was anointed of the Lord to accumulate wealth that they could broadcast around the world. Jesse Duplantis is unbelievably wealthy with his ministry. You say, well, I don't think they ought to have it. Well, tell God. God can take it away if you don't want them to have it. God has given it to them so they will evangelize the world. And so this is the phase of what God is calling this great consolation. It starts with the Lord equipping his saints. And so he wants to equip us two ways. He wants to equip us with prosperity that we will be able to go into the whole world and tell them the gospel. And he wants to equip us spiritually that when we get there, we'll have something to say. You remember in the Bible, there was two runners. One of them was quicker, and he got there first. But when he got there, he said, what did you see? And he said, well, I don't know. It was a great tumult, but I don't know what happened. The second one was a little slower, but when he got there, he was able to tell the story accurately. Well, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost Church has not been first, but now we are getting there, and we've got a message to tell. And that is Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for your sins. He rose again. He sent the Holy Spirit back to us that we might have the same spirit that he had. That's the message that we must propagate in this time. And so Jesus Christ is giving us the provision that we have, that we need. He's preparing for us a table in the presence of our enemies. There are so many people that are unsaved that hate the prosperity of the church. And when you hate to see brothers and sisters and ministries prosper, you're in a terrible crowd because you're joining with the devil and you're joining with the Antichrist and you're joining with all the gospel haters. I love to see my brothers blessed. I love to see other churches blessed. I love to see Christian networks blessed because it's necessary that we can propagate the gospel. And so the Lord is now preparing a table in the presence of our enemies. It's a part of what he said he was going to do. The wealth of the sinner is being laid up for the just, for the consolation is coming. Now the second part of that is the harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, I enjoy what we're doing, but I anticipate a day where Cornerstone Church, where every church that preaches the gospel in San Antonio, Living Way Church, New Creation Church, that our buildings are all going to be too small. It's up to us to keep the lights burning. It's up to us to keep the prayers going up, to keep the incense on the altar, to keep this place preaching the truth of the Word of God, because company is coming. The Bible promises us a harvest. The Bible said he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that there will be a number that no man can number. The Bible tells us the latter rain is going to be glorious, more glorious than the former rain. The former rain being the day of Pentecost, the latter rain being the day before Christ comes. It's a part of the consolation of what God is saying. The Bible tells there's going to be a day where the plowman shall overtake the reaper. In other words, you can't get your seed in the ground fast enough. Just as you're putting in, you're reaping a harvest. When you tithe and you give, it's going to be immediate turnaround. When you witness, you're going to see people immediately saved. All of that is a part of the consolation. It is a part of the harvest that the Lord has promised us. And finally, in closing, the last great thing about this consolation that the Lord has given us that I am waiting for, I am anticipating every day of my life, I say this can be the day, and this is one of the days, this is one of the lines, this is one of the precepts, this is a part of the effect. God is doing a great work. Ladies and gentlemen, he is God all by himself. He could find no greater person to swear by, so he swore by himself. He saw the end from the beginning, and he loved the end. That tells me the end is not going to be pitiful. That tells me that the church is not going to whimper out of here. That tells me the church is not going to limp out of here. It tells me there's going to be a glorious proclamation, and that is what we're waiting on, the final consolation that the Lord gives us when the whole world says they were right after all. When they realize that we are gone, 1 billion people or more left this earth in a hurry, and we left our cars and our clothes and our houses, and we were gone. That's going to be what's happened. And then the Bible said that this is going to be a great day, because all of those people that mocked you, every knee is going to bow and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Those people were right. Jesus is Lord. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. They're going to confess that Jesus is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Ladies and gentlemen, I might be an early comer to the party, but my testimony is going to be justified. Your testimony is going to be justified, because the proclamation is coming. The Bible said every eye shall look upon him. Every eye shall look upon him. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee is going to bow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm enjoying what I'm doing now, but I'm like Simeon. I'm saying any day now, there is going to be a real consolation that God is going to bring to this world, and I'm excited about it. It's going to start with a blessing, and I'm participating in it. I'm blessed coming in and going out, ladies and gentlemen. My cup is full and overrunning. That's a part of what God said. And now the harvest is beginning. I'm talking to pastors and preachers all over America, and I keep in contact with these great meetings, conferences they're having. And we just come out of this pandemic. But every camp meeting that I've talked to has had their biggest crowd ever this year, all through this summer, through this heat, no matter what's going on. People are getting stirred up. Revival is coming. The harvest is about to break forth in Jesus' name. So I praise God for what I'm doing, but praise God, I've lifted up my eyes from which cometh my strength. And I tell you, there's a bigger day coming. There's a better day coming. There's an outpour coming. There's miracles. That's one thing God is going to do. He's going to use signs. One of the signs is he's going to prosper you. You've not been able to reach your friends or your family because they simply don't believe, because they're carnal people. God's going to bless you to prosper so that you will have a testimony to those that you haven't been able to reach. The next thing God is going to do, he's going to begin to manifest signs and wonders, the Bible said, in the last days. Some of you that have never had a detectable ministry are going to receive a miracle, that a ministry that is even shocking to you. You're just going to feel an unction to begin to pray for people and see results. People are going to get saved on your job. People are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost in your house. People are going to get healed when you go to visit them in the hospital. And you're going to say, what's going on? God is getting us ready for that consolation. God is getting us ready for that harvest. He is not going to leave this world without a witness. This world is an evil, dark place, but God's not through with it yet. And ladies and gentlemen, he called you the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And God is getting ready to do something to you and through you that has never, ever happened in your life. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some praise today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am in no wise tired. I am in no wise discouraged. I am like Simeon. God has given me a promise that I'm going to see some things that I've never seen in my lifetime before I leave this earth. And praise God, I believe it's already beginning to happen. I don't think we've got the present, but I think we've taken the bow off and we're taking the paper off, and we're about to see the present. We're about to see the